Welcome to Snacks for the Brain from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach. Snacks for your brain. Snacks for my brain. Snacks for our brains. Snacks for the brain.
Well, this is the first for Snacks for the Brain. Doing a podcast interview. A mouthful of Mexican burrito. But I do also want to...
Keeping it real.
But I wanted to ask you something. What was it?
Some mystery of the universe?
Maybe so. Well, it should be said that Rocky is in the studio well nigh weekly, anyway, making recordings of his other material, which is sort of Americana,
folkish, Americana, countryish, bluegrass. It's an admixture.
An admixture. What a wonderful word. But it's all very good stuff. And when that breaks the market, and he starts selling some of that stuff, I guess he'll be able to retire from his job as superintendent of Vanderbilt Dyer Observatory and live in a big house with big columns and drink mint juleps on the veranda.
I'm not planning on losing my day job.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you was to understand that there are plans in process for a brief bi-weekly radio show coming out of Dyer. Can you tell me about that?
Well, what we hope to do is to answer all the questions mankind has asked since the dawn of civilization about the universe. And that's the goal. It'll take a few weeks to...
You're going to do this in a linear fashion?
I'm sure we'll be quite succinct. We will also have in-depth interviews with some of the top astronomers and physicists at Vanderbilt. If we're only doing three-minute spots, though, it'll probably take most of the year to answer all the questions of the universe.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It is.
Rocky also regularly presents video conferences in the Via Dyer series through the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach and through Dyer Observatory, and we hope he's going to continue doing those, because that reaches a lot of kids. Over the last 3 years, we've reached over 4,000 students, and a lot of those have been attendees at Rocky's presentations on topics like how do telescopes work. What else have you done? Let's see.
You know, how to start astronomy, basic stuff.
Basic how to get into astronomy.
Yeah.
Rocky's also open to other topics. He won't tell you this, but he's one of the premier amateur astronomers in our nation.
Premier?
I don't know how you rank amateur astronomers, but he is, I would say, I don't know, one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever met.
I'm a pseudo-expert.
Who is able to answer questions in ways that people can understand them. So... We will tap Rocky's expertise quite a bit in the Ask a Scientist, the science hotline at vanderbilt.edu email. If you have any questions about astronomy, send them to that one.
I'll see if I can find somebody to answer.
Or he'll make it up. Anything else you want to talk about? The robotic telescope?
Okay.
We didn't get there.
Well, the robotic telescope at Dyer came about through a grant that TSU acquired, a NASA grant. A gentleman with NASA named Mark Wharton, engineer down there, was doing a little one-year fellowship there at TSU, and they came up with the idea to put a robotic telescope somewhere around Nashville that students could use. So they got the grant. And they decided they'd like to put it on the roof at Dyer Observatory. It's a 14-inch telescope. Didn't sound like a big one compared to our, you know, our 24-inch telescope, but really, with 14-inch telescope and the technology with CCD imaging, you know, digital camera technology for astronomers now, a 14-inch telescope today in the hands of somebody who knows how to use it can do what they were doing with the largest telescopes in the world just 30 years ago. So there's some really neat science projects that even, you know, grade school kids can do. It's really exciting.
Very cool.
So we have software that it can run over the internet. You just need an internet browser. any browser, and you can send controls to it if we've allotted you time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that thing is just now up and going.
So would you say that it's in beta now, or it's pretty much up and running in its first alpha?
It may be in gamma.
Iteration. Gamma. It's in gamma. So does that mean that my fourth graders could access it from...
Actually, we'd like to do a test like that. We would. Yeah.
Let's look at that. Maybe in January.
Okay, sure.
Probably something with the sun during the daytime.
Well, we haven't got it set up for solar stuff.
Okay.
But what we can do is have them write scripts and let it run at night, and then come back the next morning and check their images.
I'll have to teach them how to write scripts.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy.
I hope so, because I'll have to learn it first.
If you can type, if you're a good typer.
If you're a good typer, if you use home row key position.
Mm-hmm. You can do it. Even an old hunting pecker like me can do it. We need to test it. We had the physics and astronomy party last Friday night. And we were set up in the library with the internet browser.
At Vanderbilt.
Yep, at Dyer Observatory. And we were letting kids just come up, or anyone, mm-hmm. want to sit down. We acquired dozens of images that night, flawlessly. You enter the target in a field, how long you want the exposure to be, hit acquire image, and the telescope slews to wherever it is in the sky, takes one picture, and then it measures what's in that picture, a 30-second picture, measures the stars in that picture against an astrometry database. So it figures out what the part of the sky is supposed to be, measures the stars, and it may be off by just a few arc seconds or whatever,
mm-hmm.
readjusts the mount, and then takes your picture. So it's really cool because it figures out where it is.
Before it takes a picture.
Before it takes the picture you've requested.
Sort of self-verifies its positioning.
Yep.
It doesn't just go to the position and take the picture, is what Rocky's saying, I think. It goes, verifies that it's really where it should be, and then it takes the picture. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And is this off-the-shelf software, or is this something that you
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned
wrote
that.
Yourself?
Didn't write it. A gentleman named Bob Denny wrote it. He has a company called DC3 Dreams. This stuff is fantastic. Bob Denny, have the utmost respect for him. As a person who's produced top-notch astronomy software, the software is called Astronomer's Control Panel. Now, we've used other software that was problematic. It worked part of the time. Bob Denny's software, ACP, is just phenomenal. Performs flawlessly, or at least it did the other night. And we've heard nothing but great reviews.
Excellent. Well, I think we ought to go out of the show with...
My cell phone going off.
Rocky's cell phone going off. And let's go into one of his songs called, let's see, this is The Seasons, what's it called?
The Seasons, or It's All in the Way That We Lean.
Thank you, Rocky Alvey, Superintendent of Vanderbilt Dyer Observatory.
The changes of seasons affect all of life. The reasons aren't easily seen. It all has to do with the angle of light. Yes, it's all in the way that we lean. Our mothership Earth keeps spinning around, creating each new day we see. The axis of spin isn't straight up and down, it tilts 23 some degrees. It's all in the way that we're leaning, my friend. It's all in the way that we lean. In winter and summer, the fall and the spring, it's all in the way that we lean. In summer, Earth's farther away from the sun. In winter, it's closer, they say. So distance just isn't why you freeze your buns. Your hemisphere's tilting away. The solstices happen 2 times per year, and so do the equinox days. Those words relate to positions. transitions, my dear, of the sun-earth relation in space. Oh, it's all in the way that we're leaning, my friend. It's all in the way that we lean. In winter and summer, the fall and the spring, it's all in the way that we lean. Oh, it's all in the way that my friend, it's all in the way that we lean. In winter and summer, the fall and spring, it's all in the way that we lean. Yes, it's all in the way that we lean.
Indeed it is. That's it for Snacks for the Brain. As always, check out www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO for the great things the folks at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach are doing to help K-12 students connect with scientists.